Welcome to the Not Old Better Show, Smithsonian Associates Series. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang, and this is episode number 192. As part of our Smithsonian Associates Art of Living series, our guest today on the Not Old Better Show is Francine Segan. Francine Segan is one of America's foremost experts on Italian cuisine. She's an engaging public speaker, she's got a ton of enthusiasm, she's an author and TV personality. A noted food historian and James Beard nominated author of 6 books, including Dolce, Italy's Sweets, and Pasta Modern.
Gelato for breakfast, pasta pie for dessert. Italy has some of the world's weirdest but most wonderful sweets. Italy is not only the birthplace of cannoli, biscotti, granita, torrone, zabaglione, and tiramisu, it also originated things like the Amalfi Coast's chocolate-covered eggplant and radicchio panna cotta from Treviso.
That, of course, is our guest today, Francine Segan, who will be at the Smithsonian Associates Program presenting La Dolce Vita, Italy's Desserts, April 16th. Oh, and something else. Immediately following Francine's presentation, you'll enjoy a reception with award-winning Italian treats graciously donated by several companies, including chocolatiers Buonaggiunto, Falange, and Vinci, and San Pantrignano Bakers. Please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show via Skype, Francine Segan. Francine Segan, welcome to the show.
A delight to be with you.
You know, this is just going to be such a fun presentation from you. There'll be a reception following along with Italian treats. What else can we expect from your presentation at the Smithsonian that day?
You'll hear wonderful tips on how to make simple Italian desserts at home and some of my travel secrets of where to get the best gelato in Rome, what desserts to order that aren't on the menu, and what's banned in the U.S. that's a must-have dessert ingredient to bring home with you.
What could possibly be banned in the U.S.? You gotta know that right now.
Interestingly, it's kind of a key ingredient in dozens and dozens of famous desserts, from zuppa inglese to these little faux peaches, these cookies that look like peaches. And it's called alcremez. It's a liqueur from Tuscany. It's a red, spicy liqueur that's delicious and used everywhere. But because back in the 1800s, the Italians used an insect shell to give it the red coloring, which is a little bit poisonous. You'd have to drink a few gallons to get really sick. But anyway, America banned it. And it has not been able to lift the ban, even though since 1910, they haven't used that insect shell anymore.
Well, this, as I say, this is going to be such a fun presentation for you. I can just hear in your voice all of the great things we're going to learn and all of your enthusiasm. I want to shift for a second and talk about your new book, because it's getting great reviews. The title, Dolce, Italy's, let me say that again, Dolce, Italy's Sweets. And again, been getting great reviews. The photography is excellent, too. What makes this dessert cookbook different?
Well, it's got a few fun features. Every recipe has an Italian food saying. I, in traveling through Italy, discovered so many sayings that we have there. So like in America, we might say, oh, you have rose-colored glasses. In Italy, they'd say, you see the world through slices of prosciutto. So I gathered up all of these fabulous sayings, and with each recipe, you get one.
Yeah, that's great. So then, tell us, you know, if we want to go beyond tiramisu, you know, we want to delve into the Italian dolce by regions. This is the book. So talk a little bit about the regional nature of desserts throughout Italy.
Well, I loved the idea through the sweets of really underscoring that Italy is made up of 20 very, very, very different regions where the food can be so totally different. And that's sort of one of the fun celebrations of Italy, where you don't get these cookie cutter dishes everywhere. So what I loved is, for example, up north, you have a very different set of things. Like, for example, there's this fabulous cake that's called Torta Mimosa. a mimosa cake. It looks like a big mimosa cluster of flowers. And you find it especially on March 8th, which is the Festa della Donna, the International Day of Women, celebrating women, or creamy desserts like panna cotta that originated there. And then when you go down to Naples and Sicily, you'll find some very, very special chocolate desserts. Because interestingly, it was Christopher Columbus who first brought chocolate from the New World to Europe. And one of the first places that it went into was Sicily and Naples, because back then it was under Spanish rule.
Very interesting. Recipes are so great to share. And important to family history, too. Is that where you first learned many of your recipes, from families and from your own family, and kind of in a historical laying down from generation to generation?
Not from my own family. Interestingly, even though my grandmother was first generation, she was came over as a young girl. She and we went to her home every Sunday for the traditional Italian lunch. She only bought desserts on Sunday. So if we'd ever go there on a Wednesday, grandma would never have a dessert. You'd have fruit. And same thing for my mom. She also didn't grow up with that concept of dessert. I think I was in high school before I realized, you know, you could have something sweet on Tuesday. And so although I learned lots of other wonderful dishes, it wasn't until I was an adult and started to travel in Italy that I got intrigued by some of the sweets that I saw there. And I'm very health-minded, and I kind of grew up with that fruit idea. So I like healthy desserts, but I was totally satisfied in Italy because they have a magical combination of ingredients that makes their sweets, I think, very unique in the world.
One recipe that jumped out at me in the book, certainly, and you mentioned this just a few moments ago, and that's this kind of interesting combination of words, and I'm going to ask you to explain it to us and maybe tell us a little bit about the history of the recipe, and I'm talking about chocolate eggplant. So tell us about that one.
I know. Isn't that weird? Just those two words. It's a dessert. And what's so cool is I first heard about it here in New York City when a chef came, and when he looked at me, when I kept saying, excuse me, that's dessert, he wasn't perplexed by my astonishment. And so I actually flew over to visit the area where he said it's most famous, which is in the Amalfi Coast, several towns, and it's especially popular in August. And everybody has it on August 15th there, kind of national holiday called Ferragosto, where everybody starts their summer vacation. It is basically slices of fried eggplant that are layered the way you would make lasagna, but instead of the sauce, it would be a thick, fudgy chocolate sauce. And then it's topped with candied fruit and chopped nuts, maybe even little crushed amaretti cookies. And it changes from town to town and chef to chef. And it's a recipe that really dates back to the 1700s and is still absolutely popular and found everywhere in that section, that popular section of Italy.
Well, then one more question for you, Francine Sagan. Tell us a little bit about pasta desserts.
Isn't that just wonderful, those two words together, pasta? Desserts. I just love that. And I was thrilled to discover so many pasta desserts. I even made a chapter in my Dolce book called Weird and Wonderful, the Unique and Unusual Desserts of Italy. So up north, there is this pasta pie called torta ricciolina. Ricciolina means curly. And it's made with egg pasta, so fresh pasta noodles, really thin ones that are not boiled. They're just tossed with sugar and almonds and cocoa powder and then baked. And you could add a crust or not, but it just ends up making this wonderful pie that's crisp on the outside but meldy soft on the inside. And it's a specialty of Emilia Romagna. But that's not it. There's more. There were pasta dishes that very traditional for several centuries in Sicily, where they would take angel hair pasta, and after it's boiled, maybe it came about because they had some leftover pasta. You twirl it on a fork and then just fry it in a little bit of oil, and then serve it topped with honey and crushed pistachios. So simple and so delicious.
I'm hungry. I love desserts, and this has just been a joy to talk to you. We're looking forward to your presentation at the Smithsonian Associates Monday, April 16th, 2018, 6:45 p.m. at the Ripley Center. And as I say, there's going to be this great reception following your presentation. So, Francine Segan, thank you so much, and we're looking forward to seeing you on April 16th.
Thank you.
My thanks to our guest today, Francine Segan, who will be at the Smithsonian Associates Program presenting La Dolce Vita, Italy's Desserts, April 16th, 2018, at the Ripley Center in Washington, D.C. My thanks as well to the Smithsonian team for all they do to support our interviews. As usual, we'll post links to everything, and also as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me email at info@notold-better.com. Stay tuned for our next show, another great one, as we talk about better, the Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody. Oh, and remember to check out genealogybank.com/NOBS for great genealogy newspaper articles, resources, history, and data, and support the show. genealogybank.com/NOBS.